You've heard how Madhura has heard from Maitreya Muni, and we have simultaneously heard how Swayambhuva Manu came and offered his daughter to Kodama Muni, who accepted her. And then we heard how Swayambhuva Manu went back to his kingdom, and there he was welcome. And in full Krishna consciousness, he acted as a king. He took that which came of its own accord, enjoyed kingly delights, but always in not adharmically, not against religious principles. And also, he always heard Krishna Katha. He always heard about Krishna. And this kept him in the spirit, the atmosphere, the spirit of the spiritual world. So Maitreya continued describing what happened after Swayambhuva Manu left. After the departure of her parents, the chaste woman, Devahuti, who could understand the desires of her husband, served him constantly with great love, as Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva, serves her husband. So we've also heard many cultural points. We heard prior to this how the Brahmins and Kshatriyas would relate, which is the essence of culture. We've heard how the husbands and wives relate, which is also the essence of culture. Because if there is great affection between the husband and wife, and everything is done in a religious way, then the children that are produced from such a marriage will be very secure, spiritually inclined, etc. And they'll have a pleasant, good disposition as well. So these what I just did was prepare you for for Prabhupada explaining more about what women are supposed to be like in as a wife. And these things, it's so much against contemporary culture. Because the wife in the Vedic culture is always takes a subordinate position to her husband. But it doesn't mean that the husband can exploit her and do whatever he likes. But she is submissive. She acts submissively. Because in the culture, according to the culture, two and two is four, four. Did you erase that? You didn't want that on? Oh, okay, you made sure it was. I made the volume up. But on one side, what is happening in the culture? On one side, it's all seen more or less as a drama. In a drama, everyone has a role to play according to the position that one is in. One has a role to play, but one doesn't completely identify with that role. Because one knows in spiritual life that one is a spirit soul, but according to my karma, I've been born in a particular position, and here is how I should act, how I should play my role, especially here we're going to hear more about how the wife should act, how I should play my role so that things progress very smoothly and that the drama of life will go on. The husband ideally should be renounced like Kodama Muni, and advanced like Kodama Muni, and the wife should act as Devahuti acted, and as Prabhupada will explain in the purport, in comparing her to Bhavani, Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva. The specific example, here's Prabhupada's purport, of Bhavani is very significant. Bhavani means the wife of Bhava, or Lord Shiva. Bhavani, or Parvati, the daughter of the king of the Himalayas, selected Lord Shiva, who appears to be like just like a beggar as her husband. In spite of her being a princess, she undertook all kinds of tribulations to associate with Lord Shiva, who did not even have a house, but was sitting underneath the trees and passing his time in meditation. Although Bhavani was the daughter of a very great king, she used to serve Lord Shiva just like a poor woman. Similarly, Devahuti was the daughter of an emperor, Swayambhuva Manu, Yet she preferred to accept Kardama Muni as her husband. She served him with great love and affection, and she knew how to please him. Therefore, she is designated here as Sadri, which means a chaste, faithful wife. Her rare example is the ideal of Vedic civilization. Every woman is expected to be as good and chaste as Devahuti or Bhavani. O Vidura, Maitreya Muni continues, Devahuti served her husband with intimacy and great respect, with control of the senses, with love, and with sweet words. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Here, two words are very significant. Devahuti served her husband in two ways, Vishrambena and Gaudavena. These are two important processes in serving the husband or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishrambena means with intimacy, and Gaudavena means with great reverence. Intimacy and reverence. The husband is a very intimate friend. Therefore, the wife must render service just like an intimate friend. And at the same time, she must understand that the husband is superior in position. And thus she must offer him all respect. So here is now Prabhupada is going to explain psychology, marriage psychology. A man's psychology and a woman's psychology are different. As constituted by bodily frame, a man always wants to be superior to his wife, and a woman, as bodily constituted, is naturally inferior to her husband. Thus, the natural instinct is that the husband wants to post himself as superior to the wife, and this must be observed. Even if there is some wrong on the part of the husband, the wife must tolerate it, and thus, there will be no misunderstanding between husband and wife. Actually, a husband doesn't mind being controlled by his wife. In fact, it comes from Krishna. Krishna prefers to be controlled by the gopi, Srimati Radharani. But in the dealings between husband and wife, the false ego of the husband, of the male, must always be respected, because the male wants to dominate. So the control must be very subtle. Oh, my dear Prabhu, visit, please. Oh, I am in need of something. You can please help me with this. In this way, he's very easy to control. But if it's, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, and yelling at them and things like that, the man will always, he'll exert his superiority. He won't tolerate that. This is the male false ego. So it's easy, actually, if the nature of the man is understood, and understood even is like part of a drama. So in Kali Yuga, this is not taken into consideration. And the way that they talk about the equality and things like that, it's actually improper and it's wrong psychology. And I used to know this psychologist whose wife was also a social worker. And they were very much contemporary, and they used to come to help our Gurukula when I was in Gitanagari, and they're very much up on the contemporary philosophy. And they treated each other as equals, the male and the female, and they would consult each other on everything, and they were trying to bring up their child just by the book of contemporary philosophy. And they were trying to do everything just by the contemporary psychology and philosophy. And I used to watch them, and it seemed so artificial and everything. And then, but it seemed like it was working. And then after a short time, boom, marriage broke apart. He became a New Age psychologist and had so many women who would treat him very reverentially like that, and marriage broken apart. The male psychology is male, Purusha. Purusha means enjoyer. Not that we are actually that, but this is the body that the male is actually in. Like the role in a drama. So different from the way that that people are taught nowadays. If a woman is thought to be, if her nature is to be like a homebody and she, you know, just to be at home and cook and clean like that, the more quote liberated women, they look down upon her like that. You need some consciousness raising. But it's actually, it doesn't work. Have the marriages become more stable with this philosophy? No, it doesn't work. But not that it's taken with the ultimate seriousness that the man is, whatever he says, this is just like, no, if he's pure, it is like that, as Kadama Muni was pure. But it is looked at as a part in a drama. This is my role, and everyone in the drama should perform their role to the best of their ability. But it's only a role. We are not the body. We are not male. We are not female. We are Krishna's servants. And this is where it should be going. So a man's psychology and a woman's psychology are different. As constituted by bodily frame, a man must always wants to be superior to his wife. He wants her to think that he's wonderful like that. Thus, the natural instinct is that the husband wants to post himself as superior to the wife, and this must be observed. Even if there is some wrong on the part of the husband, the wife must tolerate it, and thus there will be no misunderstanding between husband and wife. Vishyamena means with intimacy, but it must not be familiarity that breeds contempt. According to the Vedic civilization, a wife cannot call her husband by name. In the present civilization, the wife calls her husband by name. But in Hindu civilization, she does not. Thus, the inferiority and superiority complexes are recognized. Damena, cha, a wife has to learn to control herself even if there is a misunderstanding. Sauridena, vacha, madhuraya, means always desiring good for the husband and speaking to him with sweet words. A person becomes agitated by so many material contacts in the outside world. Therefore, in his home life, he must be treated by his wife with sweet words. So Devahuti did all this, and this is ideal. And Kadama Muni was an ideal husband. Did not exploit his wife. He didn't beat his wife. He did not unnecessarily do anything improper. Rather, he smiled on her. He was very sweet with her. And he was spiritually advanced. Working sanely and diligently, she pleased her very powerful husband, giving up all lust, pride, envy, greed, sinful activities, and vanity. More on Prabhupada, with Prabhupada's purports. Here are some of the qualities of a great husband's great wife. Kadama Muni is great by spiritual qualification. Such a husband is called Teji Yasham, most powerful. Although a wife may be equal to a husband in advancement in spiritual consciousness, she should not be vainly proud. Sometimes it happened that the wife comes from a very rich family, as did Devahuti, the daughter of Emperor Swayambhuva Manu. She could have been very proud of her parentage, but that is forbidden. The wife should not be proud of her parental position. She must always be submissive to the husband and must give up all vanity. Submissive to the husband. Come on, Srila Prabhupada, this is almost the year, this is the millennium, this is 2000. What are you saying? We like the spiritual parts, but please don't talk about these kind of things. Always submissive to her. Actually, Prabhupada told our Jagatwini Mataji, he told her, you should think of yourself as the maidservant of your husband. What do you do when your spiritual master tells you that? Someone so exalted like Prabhupada, he says that. What do you do? And when the husband is not like Kadama Muni, it's like me. But yet Jagatwini Mataji was trained, because she was an actress before. This is what everyone has to learn how to do. Everyone has to act their part properly. for Krishna's pleasure. She must always be submissive to the husband and must give up all vanity. As soon as the wife becomes proud of her parentage, her pride creates great misunderstanding between the husband and wife, and their nuptial life is ruined. Devahuti was very careful about that, and therefore it is said that she gave up pride completely. So if one takes on a role like this and gives up pride and becomes a servant of a devotee, even though the devotee may not be exalted like Kadama Muni, what is the loss? What is the loss? If one learns tolerance and to see the good in another, what is the loss? And if the husband isn't quite up to the standard, but if the wife learns to be tolerant and submissive, that means that one has to control the mind and to give up pride and vanity, who gains? Devahuti was not unfaithful. The most sinful activity for a wife is to accept another husband or another lover. Chanakya Pandit has described four kinds of enemies at home. If the father is in debt, he is considered to be an enemy. Why? Because when he dies, you inherit. According to the Vedic system, you inherit his debts. If the mother has selected another husband in the presence of her grown-up children, she is considered to be an enemy. If a wife does not live well with her husband but deals very roughly, then she is an enemy. And if a son is a fool, he is also an enemy. In family life, father, mother, wife, and children are assets. But if the wife or mother accepts another husband in the presence of her husband or son, then according to Vedic civilization, she is considered an enemy. A chaste and faithful woman must not practice adultery. That is a greatly sinful act. So Devahuti was so ideal. The daughter of Manu, who is fully devoted to her husband, looked upon him as greater even than providence. Thus, she expected great blessings from him. Having served him for a long time, she grew weak and emaciated due to her religious observances. Seeing her condition, Kardama, the foremost of celestial sages, was overcome with compassion and spoke to her in a voice choked with great love. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The wife is expected to be of the same category as the husband. She must be prepared to follow the principles of the husband, and then there will be a happy life. If the husband is a devotee and the wife is materialistic, there cannot be any peace in the home. It also works the other way. The wife must see the tendencies of the husband and must be prepared to follow him. So usually what happens, as we mentioned yesterday, that the wife sees the faults of the husband and the husband sees the faults of the wife, and there's friction. This is Kali Yuga. The wife is telling the husband, you should be like Kardama Muni, and the husband is telling the wife, you should be like Devahuti. But actually, the wife should be telling the wife, she should be telling herself, I should be like Devahuti, and the husband should be talking to, I should be like Kardama Muni. We should play our parts properly for Krishna's pleasure. The wife must see the tendencies of the husband and must be prepared to follow him. From Mahabharata, we learn that when Gandhari understood that her would-be husband, Vidarashtra, was blind, she immediately began to practice blindness herself. Thus she covered her eyes and played the part of a blind woman. She decided that since her husband was blind, she must also act like a blind woman, otherwise she would become proud of her own eyes, and her husband would be seen as inferior. The word samanuvrata indicates that it is the duty of a wife to adopt the special circumstances in which the husband is situated. Of course, if the husband is as great as Kardama Muni, then a very good result accrues from following him. But even if the husband is not a great devotee like Kardama Muni, it is the wife's duty to adapt herself according to his mentality. Of course, there's a balance in that. If he's a demon, when the wife is a devotee, she shouldn't become demonic like that. But the principle is, in marriage, the wife should adopt the mentality of the husband. That makes married life very happy. It is also mentioned herein that by following the strict vows of a chaste woman, Princess Devahuti became very skinny, and therefore her husband became compassionate. He knew that she was the daughter of a very great king, and yet she was serving him just like an ordinary woman. She was reduced in health by such activities, and he became compassionate and addressed her as follows. Kadama Muni said, "O respectful daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, today I am very much pleased with you for your great devotion and your most excellent loving service. Since the body is so dear to embodied beings, I am astonished that you have neglected your own body to use it on my behalf." Purport. It is indicated here that one's body is very dear. Yet Devahuti was so faithful to her husband that not only did she serve him with great devotion, service, and respect, but she did not even care for her own health. That is called selfless service. It appears that Devahuti had no sense pleasure, even with her husband. Otherwise, she would not have deteriorated in health. Acting to facilitate Kadama Muni's engagement in spiritual elevation, she continually assisted him, not caring for bodily comfort. It is the duty of a faithful and chaste wife to help her husband in every respect, especially when the husband is engaged in Krishna consciousness. There's more to the purport, but we won't read that. Text 7, Kadama Muni is feeling compassionate. He continued, "I have achieved the blessings of the Lord in discharging my own religious life of austerity, meditation, and Krishna consciousness. Although you have not yet experienced these achievements, which are free from fear and lamentation, I shall offer them all to you because you are engaged in my service. Now, just look at them. I am giving you the transcendental vision to see how nice they are." I'll read the second half of the purport. By the grace of Kadama Muni, Devahuti experienced actual realization simply by serving. We get a similar example in the life of Narada Muni. In his previous life, Narada was a maidservant's son. But his mother was engaged in the service of great devotees. He got the opportunity to serve the devotees, and simply by eating the remnants of their foodstuff and carrying out their orders, he became so elevated that in his next life he became the great personality Narada. For spiritual achievement, the easiest path is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and to serve him with heart and soul. That is the secret of success. As stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his 8 stanzas of prayers to the spiritual master, "Yasya prasarat bhagavat prasada." By serving or receiving the grace of the spiritual master, one receives the grace of the Supreme Lord. By serving her devotee husband, Kadama Muni, Devahuti shared in his achievements. Similarly, a sincere disciple, simply by serving a bona fide spiritual master, can achieve all the mercy of the Lord and the spiritual master simultaneously. Kadama Muni continued, "What is the use of enjoyments other than the Lord's grace? All material achievements are subject to be annihilated simply by the movement of the eyebrows of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By your principles of devotion to your husband, you have achieved and can enjoy transcendental gifts very rarely obtained by persons proud of aristocracy and material possessions." Prabhupada's purport. Lord Chaitanya recommended that the greatest achievement of human life is to achieve the grace of the Lord, love of God. He said, "Prema pumarto mahan," to achieve love of Godhead is the highest perfection of life. The same perfection is recommended by Kadama Muni to his wife. His wife belonged to a very aristocratic royal family. Generally, those who are very materialistic or possess material wealth and prosperity are unable to appreciate the value of transcendental love of God. Although Devahuti was a princess coming from a very great royal family, fortunately, she was under the supervision of her great husband, Kadama Muni, who offered her the best gift which can be bestowed in human life, the grace of the Lord or love of God. This grace of the Lord was achieved by Devahuti by the goodwill and satisfaction of her husband. She served her husband, who was a great devotee and saintly person with great sincerity, love, affection, and service. And Kadama Muni was satisfied. He willingly gave love of God, and he recommended that she accepted it and enjoy it because he had already achieved it. Love of God is not an ordinary commodity. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was worshipped by Rupa Goswami because he distributed love of God, Krishna Prema, to everyone. Rupa Goswami praised him as Mahavadanaya, a greatly munificent personality, because he was freely distributing to everyone love of Godhead, which is achieved by wise men only after many, many births. Krishna Prema, Krishna consciousness, is the highest gift which can be bestowed on anyone whom we presume to love. One word used in this verse, Nijadharma Dohan, is very significant. Devahuti, as the wife of Kadama Muni, achieved an invaluable gift from her husband because she was very faithful to him. For a woman, the first principle of religion is to be faithful to her husband. If, fortunately, the husband is a great personality, then the combination is perfect, and the lives of both the wife and the husband are at once fulfilled. So Devahuti heard what Kadama Muni said, "I'm going to bless you." Upon hearing the speaking of her husband, who excelled in knowledge of all kinds of transcendental science, innocent Devahuti was very satisfied. Her smiling face shining with a slightly bashful glance, she spoke in a choked voice because of great humility and love. Sri Devahuti said, "My dear husband, O best of brahmanas, I know that you have achieved perfection and are the master of all the infallible mystic powers because you are under the protection of Yogamaya, the transcendental nature. But you once made a promise that our bodily union should now fulfill, that our bodily union should now fulfill, since children are a great quality for a chaste wife who has a glorious husband. But you once made a promise that our bodily union should now fulfill, since children are a great quality for a chaste wife who has a glorious husband." So in other words, previously he said that after he gave her children, he would leave. So he's offered her the highest transcendental benedictions, but she's saying, "But yet, in spite of that, I'm so happy that you are so merciful to me to give me this, but yet I still nevertheless want some children. Because I have such a great husband, and for a chaste wife to have husband, have children by her great husband is the greatest benediction," she's saying. It is glorious. Devahuti continued, "My dear Lord, I am struck by excited emotion for you. Therefore, kindly make whatever arrangements must be made according to the scriptures so that my skinny body, emaciated through unsatisfied passion, may be rendered fit for you. Also, my Lord, please think of a suitable house for this purpose." Text 12. Maitreya continued. "O Vidura, seeing to please his beloved wife, the sage Kadama exercised his yogic power and instantly produced an aerial mansion that could travel at his will." So from now on to the end of the chapter, more or less, there is, or most of the chapter, which we'll read some of it as we'll go on and read some of it. But it describes what Kadama Muni created and how he produced a suitable situation so that good progeny could come out of their union. But before we read that, I would like to mention something that happened earlier in the canto. Because earlier, when we heard how Lord Bohr came out after Swayambhuva Manu and Satyarupa came from Lord Brahma, they noticed that the earth had fallen into an abominable position. And they didn't have a place to increase the progeny. So, just when Brahma was trying to understand what to do, he took shelter of the Lord, and the Lord, as Lord Varaha, was born. And then Lord Varaha eventually rescued the earth, and meanwhile he killed the demon called Hiranyaksha. So, the question was asked by Vidura, what was the cause of the enmity? Why did Hiranyaksha attack Lord Varaha? What was the cause of the enmity? And Lord Brahma, or Maitreya, began to explain, the union between Kasyapa and his wife Diti. And her mood during this was somewhat cunning. She served him and served him and served him, but when he said, whatever you want, I will give you, he was touched by her serving mood, just like Kardama Muni was so much touched and ingratiated by the serving mood of Devahuti. But Diti had something in her mind. She wanted children, just like Devahuti wanted children. But Diti said, her mood was unsubmissive. Kardama Muni said, yes, it is proper for a wife to ask for children. But now is an inauspicious time. It's not the right time. So her serving was to get something, while Devahuti's serving was just to serve, actually. And as a result, Kasyapa, even though he said this is not the proper time, she insisted. And he could not remain strong. And as a result of that union, a great demon was born. Because her mentality wasn't proper, and that caused an improper time, even though they were such powerful, exalted personalities. So what came as a result was a very powerful person, but with a demonic mentality. But just see the difference. Here, Devahuti's mind was so much submissive, actually submissive and affectionate to Kardama Muni, her husband. And she let him make the arrangements to produce the children. With Kasyapa and Diti, she forced the arrangements. She broke her submissiveness to force the arrangements. She broke her serving mood to insist. And the result was a demonic child, Hiranyaksha, most demonic. And the result of this union will be, because Devahuti's consciousness was so pure and Kardama Muni's consciousness was so pure, but Devahuti's is what we're talking about right now. Her consciousness was so pure and submissive, and she let her husband make the arrangements. And the result was that the Lord himself took birth. So this is a very interesting contrast between the two in the same canto. So there are important lessons in that as well. But anyway, we'll hear now some of what Kardama Muni did. O Vidura, seeking to please his beloved wife, the sage Kardama exercised his yogic power and instantly produced an aerial mansion that could travel at his will. It was a wonderful structure bedecked with all sorts of jewels, adorned with pillars of precious stones, and capable of yielding whatever one desired. It was equipped with every form of furniture and wealth, which tended to increase in the course of time. The castle was fully equipped with all necessary paraphernalia, and it was pleasing in all seasons. It was decorated all around with flags, festoons, and artistic works of variegated colors. It was further embellished with wreaths, garlands, of charming flowers that attracted sweetly humming bees with tapestries of linen, silk, and various other fabrics. The palace looked charming, with beds, couches, fans, and seats, all separately arranged in 7 stories. So with his yogic powers, he made this huge mansion, a 7-story house. An aerial mansion means that it could fly, opulent. Its beauty was enhanced by artistic engravings here and there on the walls. The floor was of emeralds. What color is emerald? Emeralds.
Green.
With coral daises. Daises means sitting places that are raised. Coral, what color is coral usually? Anyone else? Huh? Reddish. Usually, there are different color corals, but reddish generally. Prabhupada explains it. His purports are very interesting in this. At the present moment, people are very proud of their architectural art, yet floors are generally decorated with colored cement. This is much better. Emeralds. The palace was very beautiful with its coral thresholds at the entrance and its doors bedecked with diamonds. Gold pinnacles crowned its domes of sapphire. What color is sapphire? Dark blue, deep blue. With the choicest rubies set in its diamond walls, it appeared, what color are rubies?
Red.
Huh?
Red.
Yeah, red, reddish, deep red. It appeared as though possessed of eyes. It was furnished with wonderful canopies and greatly valuable gates of gold. Purport. Artistic jewelry and decorations giving the appearance of eyes are not imaginary. Even in recent times, the Mughal empires constructed their palaces with decorations of jeweled birds with eyes made of valuable stones. The stones have been taken away by the authorities, but the decorations are still present in some of the castles constructed by the Mughal emperors in New Delhi. So if you've ever been to the Red Fort, have you been there? Inside? You? You can see, so that's really amazing. It's shocking. This is how the kings used to live. Amazing. And there are walls that are, even today you can see that there are jewels in there. And most of the good ones have been taken out, but semi-precious stones. But the walls were covered in jewels. Wonderful. The royal palaces were built with jewels and rare stones resembling eyes. And thus at night they would give off reflective light without the need of lamps. Here and there in that palace were multitudes of live swans and pigeons, as well as artificial swans and pigeons so lifelike that the real swans rose above them again and again, thinking them live birds like themselves. Thus the palace vibrated with the sounds of these birds. It was beautiful gems, the sounds, the auspicious sounds of birds, even the flapping of pigeon wings is considered auspicious. The castle had pleasure grounds, resting chambers, bedrooms, and inner and outer yards designed with an eye to comfort. All this caused astonishment to the sage himself. He was shocked by his own power, that is, opulence that was created. When he saw Devahuti looking at the gigantic opulent palace with a displeased heart, Kodama Muni could understand her feelings, because he could study the heart of anyone. Thus he personally addressed his wife as follows. My dear Devahuti, you look very much afraid. First bathe in Lake Bindusarova, created by Lord Vishnu himself, which can grant all the desires of a human being, and then mount this airplane. The lotus-eyed Devahuti accepted the order of her husband. Because of her dirty dress and the locks of matted hair on her head, she did not look very attractive, because she had neglected her bodily dress and everything in the service of her husband, who was an ascetic. In India, you see that those who practice austerities, these sages, especially in, not in, so much in Vrindavan, but in the Himalayan mountains, they have matted hair. And when the sometimes when the Westerners, the Western like hippies, go there to India, they just their goal is to come back with matted hair, mm-hmm. and they feel like they've accomplished something. I remember we met in Vrindavan. There's this one young Australian boy. He became ill. He wasn't a devotee. He was just a, sort of a hippie traveling around, and because of his and he had his hair it was just beginning to mat. He had one or two mats in his hair, and he had to cut his hair because he was ill, and he started crying, because when he came back to Australia he wanted to have matted hair to show his friends, but that is. The purpose of being a sadhu is not to have matted hair to look like a sadhu, but the purpose is the depth of austerity and meditation. And the principle of matted hair is that I don't pay any attention to my body, that I don't have time to comb my hair, I don't have the desire, I don't care about anything on the bodily level. I neglect my body and just meditate and pay attention to the soul. That is the idea, whether one is an impersonalist or a Vaishnava. That is the idea. Not to carefully culture one's hair so it grows matted, matted in a matted way so that people will think that we're sadhus and we've done something wonderful in India. Not like that at all. So the externals, everyone gets so interested in the externals. The real thing in spiritual life is the internal. The externals can help the internal, but the externals are not a goal in themselves, rather they are just support for the internal. And if the internal does not take place, the external is just external. The real thing in Krishna consciousness as well is to change the heart. And the externals, all the practices are meant to do that. The dress, the hair, the eating, prasadam, the worship, the bowing down, everything is meant to change the heart. Initiation, even, it means you get a name, neck beads, kuntimala, chanting on beads, but it means to begin the process of changing the heart from self-centered to Krishna-centered. And we must continue strongly along that path. So Devahuti had matted hair. Not that she was trying to get matted hair and look frail like an ascetic tapasini, but because she was serving Saul completely, her husband, with no care for her own needs, she naturally became like that. And her husband, a great sage, gave her these benedictions. Okay, why don't we stop here? And so the aerial mansion, and now what will happen to Devahuti herself, tomorrow we'll discuss that. How they took care of her. How her husband took care of her. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jagannath Mahaprasad.